Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Right, honky tonk.
Well, don't honky tonk me. That was, so you've added a cough to your side.
I've got there. A bit of a cough.
Oh, you didn't deliberately.
No, I wasn't.
Wasn't theatrical.
I've got a bit of a cold.
I mean, to be honest, just analysing that as you exhaled it, it sounded like you're exasperated, which makes me think you're exasperated with me, which puts me on my back foot. Which is that your intention?
It's probably. To one of the side effects of the cold that I've got.
Oh, you've
got
a cold?
Chest. Yeah, I've got quite a bad cold.
Okay, well.
So just go easy on us, eh?
All right, but I know that you know I immediately feel at a disadvantage. One, because of your exasperated sigh.
No, it was a wheeze.
All right, your wheeze then. And two, because I'm meant to suck at you because you've got a cold.
Don't suck at me.
So, it's Atletico Mints.
It's episode 11.
Episode 11. Who'd have thought we'd have got this far? Yeah. No one asked for this.
Very few people are still asking for it.
So I'll just briefly interrupt and say what I've got to discuss. I've got to discuss Greg Wallace, yeah. Steve McLaren, of course, what he's been up to.
Yeah.
I've got the wife's questions.
Yeah.
I've got my joke. Yeah, I know you always look forward to that. And I've got a lovely story about when I met a footballer. What about you, Andy?
I've got your memory man question.
Nice.
I'm going to ask you about your highlight of the football season.
Okay.
To bring a little bit of football into it.
Fair enough.
I've got a recipe as well.
Right.
Because, you know, the BBC today have deleted all their recipes from their website.
Yeah.
Or something.
Are you heartbroken over it?
Not really asked.
Yeah?
I've never used the recipes on the BBC.
All right, so I said to you, Andy, it's really important. I've got a very bad heart.
Have you?
Yeah. Right. I've got a really bad heart. I need this, I need a chicken, I don't know, it's calamari cooking,
right.
Pasta. How to do it.
Just do it with Benicol, because that's what you're into, isn't it?
Well, oh, I know what you do. You just buy Dolmio, wouldn't you?
And I'd just have a jar of Dolmio and just neck it down.
Yeah, so you just say, you'd say to me, so what colour is it, that particular meal? I say, oh, it's a stew, it's sort of reddish, brownish. So you'd choose your red Dolmio thing.
Yeah.
If I said it was like a chicken, what's the chicken korma, you'd use the white one.
Yeah.
Whatever the meal is.
Red or white, yeah.
Red, it's a red meal or a white meal. Yeah. Is that a red meal, Bob, or white meal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just some meat and either red or white sauce.
I suspect the BBC recipes weren't aimed at an oik like you, Andy, but there
well,
you go.
Well, the BBC is a broad church, Bob. It's for everyone. It just so happens the recipes aren't for me.
Yeah.
But I've got one of my own later on, so we'll see.
It's an interesting thought that they've done it just to mess with the heads of the people who are attacking the BBC at the moment, isn't it? Middle England and that.
I think that's what they've done. They've done it to deliberately turn everyone against the government.
Yeah.
It's an act of revolution, if anything.
Wow.
And we were there to see it.
Okay, so you want to talk recipes, what else?
That's about it, really.
Oh, so that's what you've brought to the table, recipes?
Oh, yeah, I've got some questions as well, and the yes-no thing.
Okay.
We've talked too much about what we're going to do. I think we should just get on and bloody do it.
All right, Greg Wallace.
Yeah.
That's the first item I'd like to talk about. Last week's podcast, you're very rude about Greg Wallace.
I described him as an arsehole, yeah.
Yeah, I think a bit worse than that, actually. And I'm sorry, I've got to put you to task in it. What, you know, like he does his food programmes, the contestants probably turn up giggling, oh, look, there's Greg, lovely cuddly Greg. What has he done?
Why would you cuddle Greg?
Lovely cuddly Greg. You know, he gives out the ambience of someone he likes to cuddle.
He's not as cuddly as he used to be. All right. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, well, he's lost a lot of weight. That's why you
he
don't like him.
He seems to be quite image conscious, I think.
And you, think anyone who's image conscious is, what did you call him?
An arsehole.
An arsehole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you feel?
That's how I feel, yeah.
You love David Bowie. I've never known anyone
it's
more
boy.
Image... I've never known anyone more image conscious. Oh, he's just going to mumble now. Is that because he called? Anyway, I just didn't want to be associated with this aggression towards...
Can we move on to your memory man? Let's try and establish your credentials as to why you're here, Bob.
Yes, I'm a memory man. I know all football stats.
From the beginning of time to the future generations.
From the beginning of association football, 1872.
Until right now.
Right now, this
until
very moment.
Right now.
Right now.
Until right now.
Yeah.
It just keeps on coming. Memory man.
Yes.
Do you remember the suits that the QPR team wore on the Wembley pitch before the 1982 FA Cup final against Tottenham Hotspurs?
Yes.
Ooh, what about that?
Nice one, Andy. I hesitated quite
a bit.
Oh,
hang on. All there's right. more.
Sorry.
And... do you remember what was unique about those suits?
Yes.
There it is.
There you are, Andy.
The memory man rides high in the sky.
You thought you got me there with your
football statistics.
Question. Thought you
once
got
again,
me then. You didn't.
Unbeatable.
Thank you very much. That's memory man. Now, McLaren.
Steve McLaren.
Steve
What's
McLaren.
What's he up to
What's
right
he
now?
Up to today? Well, earlier today it came to me. He was in his kitchen, right, in one of his short-sleeved shirts with a tie, yeah?
Yeah.
And he was showing off a big yellow snake. Do you know the, I think they're called corn cobs, corn snake or whatever.
Yeah, corn snake, yeah.
Corn snake to his big lass that he hangs around with. Yeah?
Yeah.
But I think one of the reason it came to me, because it caused electricity in the universe, is that the snake did a little tod on his tie. A little snake tod. And it's it was his Bowls Club tie, right? Yeah. So just after that, so I'm going back like about 50 minutes ago, because I've had to walk to the studio, he was crouched over his sink, with like one of those little foam pads that's got a rough edge,
yeah,
trying to get the snake tarred off, occasionally glancing through the lounge where the big lass was eating beans on toast. So that's 50
minutes. Do you
reckon
that she's
ago.
Not going to want anything to do with him if he's got a snake tarred on his tie?
She hates his snake. He's always displaying them, you know, his snake.
It always you know, goes wrong.
That's my suggestion.
What does a snake tarred look like? Is it long, like the animal that it's been emitted from?
No, surprisingly, I don't want to go. No, you always drag it towards feces. No, no, thank you. Let's leave it out of. Let's
you don't
not go.
Really,
in
yeah.
No, I don't.
Don't
I do. I do know because I saw that episode of Come Dine with Me, where she put the snake in the table.
Oh yeah,
and it todded up the table.
It did.
So thank you. I do know what a snake todd looks
spherical,
like.
Spherical, isn't it?
Thank you for that. What about you? Where do you reckon McLaren is or what has been?
Well, mine's not as good, really. Should probably let me do mine first, I think, from now on.
Okay, well, let's say you're it.
Well, he's been assembling his own England squad made from lollipop sticks and ping pong balls for heads. And he's taken them away to a secluded pre-tournament retreat, which is his brother's caravan in Great Yarmouth. And he's given them pep talks. And he's outlining his tactical plans for them on a whiteboard that he borrowed from Newcastle and he forgot to give back. And he's rubbing vegetable oil into their legs at night.
I like it.
Do you?
I like it. Mm. I like it. It's a little bit sad.
I think you've deliberately done yours first and made it better to make me look like a twat.
No. But is that bathos or pathos, what you've just
done? I don't know
what
it is.
You don't care, do you?
No.
Wife's questions. It's
quite
time for the wife's
now.
Questions. Well, pull yourself together.
Well, I'm in the wrong mood for them.
Now, this week, Andy, I've been instructed by the wife that I have to read them out exactly as they're written.
Right.
Okay, so here goes. From the wife's questions. Question one. Congratulations on the success of the podcast. Now you have reached the heights of a minor celebrity like Bob, will you be upgrading your bungalow to a dormer-style bungalow?
No comment.
because you don't want to talk about whether it's a dharma.
Next question, please.
Question two. Congratulations on the success of your podcast. Now you have a kind of media profile, will you be seeking representation, showbiz agent?
No, I'd like to keep my feet on the ground.
Right.
And I'd like to remain in the level of extreme debt that I'm in at the moment. Therefore, all business decisions will be carried out by myself, okay. Probably quite badly.
When you say extreme debt, I mean,
yeah. Are
you in a bad way, Andy?
Yeah, really bad.
Let me try and get to grips with this, Dad, before I've got one more question from the wife. Is your debt situation so bad that you could not afford a pack of four frozen corn cobs?
I could certainly get my hands on one.
Yeah. You steal it, you may not.
I'm not saying I could afford one, but I could certainly get my hands on one. Let's just say I don't answer the door anymore.
Okay. Question three. Congratulations on the success of the podcast. As you have that kind of northern style accent that's proving very popular these days on television, brackets, e.g. George Clark, that bloke off Big Brother that does the voiceovers and Dr. Chris Steele, have you, and it says A, considered doing voiceover work for television documentaries on fat pets or adverts for cooking fat and that, or B, have you considered learning to read and write? Quite a lot for you to...
Going on to B first there. I can read and write.
Okay.
And if I couldn't, I wouldn't be able to do any voiceovers, would I? Because I wouldn't be able to read the fucking script.
Ooh, get you? Getting a bit angry about that.
Tell your wife that.
What about the voiceovers? You fancy... you'd be really good.
I'll do anything, mate. There's money in it.
So you've got the new job, right? Andy, we've got new... It's Findus. It's the new... half-sized corn cobs,
ooh,
frozen, handy for the summer barbecue.
Yeah.
Right? Give us a voiceover. It's like something just as simple like, it's barbecue, but it doesn't have to be meat. What about these Findus quarter-sized corn cobs?
It's barbecue, but it doesn't have to be meat. What about these Findus frozen corn cob things?
Yeah. Well, if you promised me you can read and write, you'd get it right, wouldn't you?
Aye.
Well, you've
just thrown that on us a bit. I'd like to get a bit of practice at it.
Okay.
Can we come back and do that at the end?
Yeah. My mate Gav died this week. Died of heartburn.
Did he?
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, Bob.
Yeah. I can hardly believe Gav is gone. Gav is gone. Yeah, that isn't me joke, that one.
No, I think that is.
Isn't me joke.
Well, what was it then?
Me joke?
Because it wasn't a fact, was it?
Well, I went to the other shop. I went to the shop the other day to buy six cans of Sprite. It was only when I got home did I realise I'd picked seven up. Well, that was me joke. Forget it. Let's move on.
You wouldn't even hear that in a primary school playground, that one.
Have we got any listeners' questions?
Yeah, I've got some here.
God, you're right. Miserable today, aren't you?
First one from Jewel Baby Herc.
Yeah.
Who's a Middlesbrough fan, actually, like yourself.
UTB, UTB, up the borough.
Oh, whatever. He says, I asked about whether an identity parade really is the best way to pick out a criminal the other day. Can you help?
Yes, I can help. It's the trial.
He's asking both of us, but you want to go first.
Sorry, you said, all right. Do you want to go first?
I've got nothing.
Well, what? Recently, I was burgled. And
is this one of your jokes?
No, my wife saw the perpetrator, came across him in the hallway and he ran out the back. And my wife saw him, got a good look at him. Fast forward, she was taken to a video parade. Where you see 12 photographs, videos they are actually, videos.
It's very modern.
Yeah, it's the way it has to be done these days. And the 12 videos were of 12 people with identical haircuts, identical skin colour, noses, so on and so forth, because the defendant's allowed to pick them, right?
All right, okay.
So the wife, who felt she'd be able to recognise him easily, lost her confidence, couldn't pick him out.
12's a lot, though, isn't it?
If it had been an identity parade, such as our listener is talking about, she'd have had a great chance of picking him out. So, yes, it is the best. I think it's the best way. The other thing is that people do not realise how different people look on video than in real life.
That's true. Because, so, I mean, we did the podcast over Skype last week, didn't we? And you look really good. You look like a 39-year-old man.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in front of you now and you look like shit.
So, well, I enjoyed that question. I hope I've helped.
Right, okay. We've got another one from Lisa Broughton or Broughton, not sure.
Yeah.
She says, any views on taps? Need a new kitchen sink tap. Hot and cold come out of same bit. Got through 3 washers. Tar.
Okay, Andy, out of politeness, I should say, do you want to contribute an answer to that question?
No, I've got
first?
Nothing on this. Either.
You've got nothing on that. Well, you're informed today, aren't you? See, well, here's what's going to be slightly difficult answer for you. What's her name?
Lisa.
Lisa. Because I've done about 22 years of research on this since the mixer tap started to dominate. And what you're going to need to do is to re-plumb. Because the problem is the tension that's placed on the washer between it having to use to accept hot water, then accept cold water, then accept hot water, expands, contracts, little creases, little faults develop in the washer. It's no good to you.
It's been through 3 washers though, so you know what's the problem. Is she replacing the wrong washer?
No, she's got the wrong taps. I think she needs to replumb and go
so
back to.
Are you saying that we need it's time to poo-poo the mixer tap?
For me, to avoid problems in the future, problems in your old age when a dripping tap can literally drive you over the edge into Alzheimer's, right? Just replumb, Lisa.
Right.
If she's with British Gas, or one of the AA or someone who covers it, just damage the
direct
tap.
Direct line.
Damage the tap and then call them up and say it was damaged.
Just like with a hammer.
I wouldn't do it. I'd do it with something blunter than that. Just say something
blunter
fell off
than
the
a hammer?
Yeah. The side of the fridge. That's very blunt.
Push the fridge over onto the tap.
Onto the tap.
And say there was maybe an earthquake or something.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're having to say earthquake. I mean, that's not going to... A gas man's not going to say it. He's going to say, I'll check on my earthquake app. There'll be an app for it, won't there? And it'll show that there's no earthquake in the area.
This is why I don't contribute to these items, because you've got better knowledge than me.
Okay, well, we'll move on from those, because...
Have you tried them boiling water taps, though? Them ones that propelled jets of scalding hot water into your children's faces. Have you got one of them?
I can sense a negative attitude towards it there.
I'm just thinking, as a millionaire, you've probably got one, because they're quite expensive.
I have got one, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you might.
And it is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And I've got it mounted on an island.
300 quid?
I've got it. Maybe more. Let's say 900 quid. Go on.
You
if
don't
that
even,
makes you happy.
And the fact that you don't even know speaks volumes about you.
So I've got it mounted on an island with a Corian surface, right? An instant hot water.
You paused there slightly as if I was supposed to be impressed.
Oh, were you not
by
impressed?
Your Corian surface.
No, I wouldn't expect you to be impressed, because I don't expect you to know what Corian is.
I don't.
Exactly.
I'm proud of it.
It's what they used to use to make mortuary slabs, you know, for autopsies.
That's interesting.
If you were watching...
That actually ties in with one of my questions I've got for you later on.
Okay. If you were watching an autopsy, you'd been invited. Dear sir, I've enjoyed your work on Athletic Omens. Would you like to come and witness an autopsy? Would you stand at the foot end of the cadaver or at the top end or side view?
Is it like being at a birth?
I have no idea. I've never been to an autopsy.
Because at the birth, you don't really want to be down the business end, do you?
Well, I want to be at the business. You'd want to be down, see the chat.
I go down for a peek when it's a
Andy,
birth.
No, Andy, if it was a birth, I'd have said, would you like to be present at birth? It's an autopsy. Someone's died. They're not giving birth.
It's birth. It's death. It's all connected, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's death.
It's in the same office, in the registrar's office.
Oh, would you stand at the foot end, the head, or one of the wings?
Could I stand above the whole thing, like on a step ladder?
I'll drop the question.
What's wrong with wanting a different vantage point? What's wrong with wanting to be above?
Actually, I see what you mean. That's quite a nice viewpoint, isn't it?
Get a stepladder, stand on the top, and just kind of hover over everything that's happening.
Yeah. No, that would be... you would feel slightly less personal, less like you were interfering with the dead person, wouldn't it? You'd feel more like an observer.
And I'd have a mask on as well in case I accidentally sneezed on it.
Yeah.
Or gobbed on the body. Because if something funny happened, I might laugh and a bit of gob might come out.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you ever, like, it's a similar sort of thing. Have you ever kind of wanted to look behind the scenes at things, you know, like go behind the scenes at a football club or behind the scenes at Pizza Express, or, you know what I mean? Does that interest you? Get behind the scenes at a surveyor's or...
I'd love to. I'd love to get behind the scenes of any scenario.
Okay.
Because face values, just, you know, any schmuck can see what's going on.
Yeah, I want to be...
Face value. I want to know what... I want to see the cogs. I want to see the cogs were.
Yeah.
I want to see how it works.
Would you... I was just thinking, I'd like to get behind the scenes. You know, like a ticket thing, like a ticket master?
Right.
Like, to get behind the scenes would be a big place, wouldn't it? And there'd be computer screens and
yeah.
There'll be targets that they've got to reach.
Yeah.
Discounts they can offer that we don't know about.
Selling most of the tickets to touts before they go on sale to real people.
Yeah, working out sort of like what percentage they should hold back. Is this...
So they can screw the common man.
No, I wasn't really. I'm just interested.
Was that not what you were aiming at?
No, I'm not aiming at that. I was thinking, like, they've got, there's a new act on the block. Yeah?
Right.
Dixie.
One of the Russells the comedy.
All right.
A new Russell.
There's a new Russell. Yeah?
We'll call him Russell Windor.
Right. And he's new. And say, how's it going to sell? I'm going to put that team on it. And yeah. I'd like, behind the scenes, I'd say, excuse me, why that team? And he'd explain why it was that team. And, like, it's selling. Pull them, he'd say, pull them.
Yeah.
Pull them, right? And then have a meeting in a room, and they'd say, right, this is sold at this speed. We're going to put these on at £180.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you, Andy? Have I bored you? Would you? Is there a behind the scenes?
Yeah, to be honest, you've bored the shit out of me there.
All right, well, let's... Over to you, then.
It almost felt as if it was something that had come out of personal experience that you were bitter about.
No, I just like behind the scenes.
Are there still tickets on sale for your forthcoming tour with Vic Reeves?
There probably are, and they'll probably be on sale long after the show has gone.
Well, there you go. That speaks volumes. Can I just do the yes and no thing with you?
Yeah, go on.
Here we go. Bob, yes or no? A large piece of boiled gristle with a low electrical charge put through it.
Yes.
Yes or no? The contents of an industrial bin from around the back of a Turkish hospital blended and poured inside loads of balloons for kids to kick around at a birthday party.
Yes.
Yes or no? Chris Evans.
Absolutely not. No. I know I should have just said no. I'll go back. No. 3 out of 3.
Finally. You've cracked it.
Is that the end of that game now that I've done that?
No, I think we'll keep going with it.
Right. Yeah, I was wondering if we should hold a competition, Andy. You know, like a competition where people send us a photo and you send them a prize for the best one, right? £50. Yeah? Are you up for that?
£50?
Yeah, you send them for the best.
Where's the £50 come from?
Yeah, from you. We'll pick the best one and you send £50. And this week, I'm going to suggest it's you send us a photo of corned beef, but in an unusual situation. Say, for example, on the beach, or on an open page of a poetry book, that's the kind of thing. And Andy, you'll send the £50, yeah? Yeah, you will. I'm going to move on, Andy, to the new game, what we introduced last week, which at least feigned that you enjoyed, right? Which is proper footballer or not.
Okay, here we go.
So hit me with someone you consider to be a proper footballer.
Whoa, hang on. I'm not starting. It's your game.
You were starting. Yes,
why
it's
am
my
I
game.
Starting?
Because it's my game and the rule is you start. Don't hang about, Andy. These pauses.
Alan Devonshire.
He's good. He's a proper footballer. But I'm going to hit you with this. You can be the judge. I'm going to hit you with this. Dean Whitehead.
Nah.
No?
I know things about Dean Whitehead.
Go on, then.
Alan Devonshire beats Dean Whitehead.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, well done, you. See, yeah, it's not a bad game,
1-0. So we'll do that again next week. Is that it?
Yeah.
You're just going to do one?
Yeah. Your time has come.
Okay, fine, fair enough.
How do you hold your corn cobs, by the way, Andy? I'm so sorry. Are you having a full corn cob? Do you have special little things that hold them?
I just jam a fork in each end.
You jam a fork in each end? Ever let you down?
Never.
Never let you down?
If you insert them properly.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to get the positioning right, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it could like skew up and...
Sometimes you put it in and it ain't quite got the purchase.
No, I always make sure I've got the purchase. I'll come out and I'll go in again deeper.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it's all the way in.
So your first one that you did was a failure.
Yeah.
Your second one wasn't. So you've just previously said you've never failed.
I'll just switch the angle a little bit. It doesn't matter that the forks are at a different angle.
Yeah.
As long as they're both in at both ends.
And you smear it with loads of butter and dolmio sauce and that, yeah?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Not Benacol like you. What's Benacol made out of? Plant organs.
Plant sterns.
Plant sperms?
No, but why do you want to... I'll tell you what, to see if this helps you out, honey, I'd just like to give the opportunity. Would you like to say bastard now? I'll give you that opportunity.
Bastard?
There you go.
Thanks, Bob. I've got some questions for you, Bob.
All right, fire away.
These have been given to me by blood relatives of myself.
Important that they are. Nice.
And they all are. Bob, as a multimillionaire with your mansion and your team of servants and your personal eyebrow technician... Who's obviously off this week.
Ha-ha.
Do you allow your servants to return to their homeland for Christmas, / Easter, / Yom Kippur, / Ramadan, or do you force them to just sit in the corner and face the wall?
I'm not a millionaire. I don't have any staff.
Yeah, I admitted last week that you do. You've got a gardener.
Okay, I have. The only staff I have is a gardener who lives in the same town as me.
You also said something about your servants as well last week, in the plural sense.
No, I didn't. If I did, it was a step at the top.
You did.
Question two, thanks.
Okay, question two. Bob, as a multimillionaire with your mansion and your team of servants, your personal eyebrow technician, and your holiday home in the Jutland Islands, do you allow your servants to...
The fuck are the Jutland Islands?
Shh. Do you allow your servants... Stop pretending you don't know. Do you allow your servants to fraternise with each other outside of working hours, or do you have them all neutered and make them live in same-sex huts built on a dirt patch on the other side of your orchard where the birds don't sing?
I don't have any servants. I do have an orchard, but it's not...
Who tends to your orchard, Bob?
My gardener.
Your staff? Your servants?
My gardener.
And all the other servants?
No. Is that it?
No, there's another
one. All right, here we go then.
Bob, as a multimillionaire with your mansion, your team of servants, your personal eyebrow technician, your holiday home in the Jutland Islands and Mahatma Gandhi's conga collection, which you acquired from the estate of Winston Churchill, do you make your servants sign a gagging clause which prevents them from speaking publicly about your private zoo, which is filled with hybrid animals you've secretly bred for both meat and sport? Animals such as the ostrich lion, the double-chested cat caterpillar, and the bong-eyed whippet that can only walk around in circles.
I'm not a millionaire and I don't have a zoo. However, yes, I am very interested in hybrid animals. That's a project that maybe in the future will come to fruition. At this moment of time, no.
And who staffs the hybrid zoo?
In the future...
I've been on Google Earth. I've seen it, mate.
Yeah? And what did you
say?
Who
staffs it? I saw lots of little brown-skinned people walking around.
And you think they were staff or hybrids?
I think they were staff.
Yeah. I've enjoyed your questions, Andy, and I've enjoyed the idea of hybrid animals, and I will investigate that. And in fact, I might next week's competition that you'll give 75 quid as the prize for could be the best drawing or photograph of a hybrid animal. Thank you for your questions. I hope that my answers in some way helped. Has anyone asked me a question about footballers?
They haven't actually, but shall I ask it?
Yeah, go on then,
Andy. For the purposes of just, you know, getting this thing moving again.
Thank you, Andy. Off you go.
Have you ever met a footballer, Bob?
Well, a good question, Andy, especially for someone who's got head cold. A good question. Do you know that's going to make people at home feel sick, all that gobbing and snotting about?
I can't help how I feel.
Yeah, you could. You could cover the mic up when you're about to snot up. Right, well, Gary Lineker. Yeah?
Yeah.
I once met Gary Lineker. I went out for a night drinking with Gary Lineker and Tom Jones. So Tom Jones.
Who does he play for?
He doesn't play for, but I'm putting the context of me. Gary Lineker played for Leicester City, Halifax Town, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So we're having a drink, and it struck me that...
Oh, the Welsh...
Tom Jones.
Honker.
Yeah. Sex bomb! Him, the sex bomb. He was a lovely man, and so is Gary, actually. I had a lovely night. But I got to thinking to myself, these two have got serious cash.
Right. Yeah? And a bit like yourself. You just thought, I'm among friends here.
And I thought,
fellow millionaires.
No. And I thought to myself, they're nice people. They're not, do you know, you get some boastful celebrities, showy ones who like, I mean, a lot of footballers.
Such as,
I don't know, I've got the Bentley, I've got this, got this, got this. I've got tattoos made out of
Tony Cotty, basically.
Or, Tony Cotty, if you want, yeah. And so I said to Tom Jones, I said,
Prince Charming, Prince Charming.
That's not Tom Jones.
Is it not?
That's Adam Ant. Harry Ant. So I said, look, Tom, you were friends here. Well, come on, for once, just tell us about something you spent a load of money on. You love it. You know, you don't want to apologise for it. I ain't going to tell anyone or whatever. He said, no way.
Is he from India?
Oh, yeah. So I said, oh, Tom, honestly, I'd really like to know. I'd love it. I'd love, you know, if ever one day I had loads of money, I'd like to spend it on some big indulgence, something like that. He says, no, I don't like stuff like that getting out or whatever. I said, please, Tom, please, I beg of you.
Did you beg him?
Please tell me. And he says, all right, I got a fucking gold plane. He says, I said, what do you mean gold? He says, fucking gold taps, gold walls, gold seats. And gold thread in the carpets, a fucking gold plane. And I thought to myself, well, good on you.
Does he fly it then, or does he just keep it in the garage?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it'll be his personal jet.
I wouldn't take that out.
Shit, though, that's a point. It'd be heavy, won't it?
Yeah.
Gold.
Would never take off.
Gold fittings throughout, he said. So I thought that was a nice little story.
About Tom Jones, the footballer. Yeah,
but, I mean, I just want to emphasise, because I've told the story, I want to emphasise that what a lovely fella he was and how reluctant he was to tell the story and how obviously it must have been something he didn't want to get out.
He didn't boast about it, did
he? Yeah, and he didn't want it to get out at all.
You had to beg him.
That was nice of him, and Gary was lovely as well.
How do you feel about the internet rumours that Roy Hodgson might be the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Do they exist, these rumours?
Yeah, quite. There's a lot of it going on. There's a Facebook group, Is Roy Hodgson Jesus?
Do you know what, Andy? I haven't investigated that.
I've not heard of it.
That would suggest to me the hairstyle.
There's people saying there's a lot of evidence. There's the mild speech impediment.
Right.
Jesus had one of them.
Did he?
There's the suits that he wears.
Right.
Very similar to the ones seen on the Beau tapestry.
Is the Beau tapestry Jesus?
Jesus is on the Beau tapestry, I believe, yes.
Well, he's one of the fighters, is he?
Yeah.
Well,
I wondered if you'd heard about it, if you had any thoughts about it.
I've not heard about that, but I can see no evidence, no basis for saying it.
You might feel really stupid in a month's time after the Euros are finished.
What? When someone looks at his name tag and it says Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying now, because it's going to be in France where the Beau tapestry was made.
Yeah.
It's the home of Christ, isn't it?
Do you know what the Beau tapestry depicts?
It's the Last Supper.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that, Andy?
Yeah. Am I thinking of the Turin Shroud?
I have no idea. But
it can't be the Turin Shroud because we played in Turin in 1980 in the Euros, and we got knocked out, and there was tear gas and that. So it's not the cheering shroud. It's definitely the BO tapestry.
Okay, well, I'm going to put an end to that one. I'm going to go. I want to quickly get off on a tangent. Do you have a sofa bed? No, I know it's like a supplementary. Do you have a sofa bed so that, like, on your way home, if you come across anyone up there that needs a bed for the night, like Itchy the Tramp or something, you can give them a bed for the night?
No comment.
No comment. Why won't you comment on it? What would that reveal about
your
bungalow?
Because it feels as though it could be a trap.
That was it.
It could reveal whether or not the bungalow is a dormer.
Why?
Or not.
Couldn't you have
why
a settee?
Why do you care? Anyway, can I do my recipe now?
Yeah, do your recipe.
Because I've got a recipe, because as we know, the BBC have knocked the recipes on the head. The government's made them do it. So I thought if we introduced a recipe, it might, you know, increase the listener numbers and
okay,
all of that entails. Just increase the prizes that we can give out.
Yeah, that you can give out the 50 quid. You know, when I was coming in the next door studio, the inventor of the windowsill's in there.
Is
absolute
he?
Ledge. Carry on with the recipe, yeah?
Jesus Christ. Right, this is called Fromage de Crusoe.
Okay.
First of all, you take a box of Laughing Cow cheese triangles.
Nice.
You know, the circular box that you get.
Yep.
It's got to be full fat, not the light ones, very important that. And you defoil each individual triangle, and then...
What did you say, defoil? You try to
take the foil off.
Yeah, you take the foil off.
This is the sort of thing Greg Wallace would say.
No,
defoil.
Isn't.
We've got to make sure you retain the shapes. You've got to be really careful. You might need to use tweezers.
Okay.
And then you arrange them into a circle as they came in, like, or a wheel. That's your cheese island.
Right.
All right. Then you take a handful of dry roasted peanuts.
Yeah.
KP, Planters. You know, one of the top end brands. Split them in half. Very important. Carefully then, you push your halved nuts into the soft, welcoming cheese, making sure they're spaced out so that your cheese doesn't become misshapen. And they are your Robinson Crusoes on the cheese island.
Right.
And then you can either, this is optional, you can garnish the whole thing with the herb of your choosing, or you can brulee the fuck out of it with a blowtorch or a cigarette lighter or a laser pen, depending on what level of brulee you want.
Yeah. That's
and there you've got Fromage de Crusoe. Enjoy. Bon appetit.
Yeah. So you put your sprinkle dry roasted nuts.
You sprinkle them, you jam them in.
You jam dry roasted
like
nuts
people,
into
like Robinson Crusoe's.
I mean, Robinson Crusoe, let's be honest, couldn't you ever thought of a better a metaphor, analogy, or whatever it is? Because there was only one Robinson Crusoe, wasn't there?
Well, can you imagine just sticking one nut in a like six bits
exactly,
of cheese?
Exactly, so you shouldn't.
Shit.
Yes, it would be shit. But that's why you shouldn't have called it Crusoe.
Well, it's Fromage de Crusoe, but there's an S on the end of Crusoe, because in French they don't pronounce the S on the end, do they?
Do you mean Robinson Crusoe?
Yeah.
Well, there's only one of them, isn't there?
Well, yeah, but Crusoe with an S.
You could have called it something like 12 Angry Men or something.
That's in a courtroom. That's not on a desert
island.
Courtroom's not circular.
We could have called it Lost, you know, like the TV series. The Lost
Fromage de Lost.
Oh,
wait, man.
No, it doesn't sound so good. Well, it sounds very nice.
Thank you.
Where you come from? What do they call that game where you knock on people's doors and then you run away really quick?
It's a window cleaner, isn't it?
No, do you got a name, you know?
Knocky Nine Doors.
Knocky Nine Doors.
Knocky Nine Doors, yeah.
I call it Yodel.
Why?
So I have to admit that was my fourth attempt at a joke today, and all four
have been terrible.
Terrible. But there you go, if you don't put the work in, you know what I mean? Maybe next week, one lit like a sledgehammer. Anything else we've got to cover today, Andy?
I hope so.
Or shall we call it a day?
There's been an England squad announced for the Euros. Have you got anything on that?
Yeah, it seems a really good squad. Anything else?
Nah.
Okay,
is that your
then.
Mobile phone there with the wires hanging off it?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, well, I'll sing my song then.
Oh, do your song then. What's
song.
It about then?
Well, it's about that terrible, nervous, frustrating time in your local Asda or your Morrison's when you're waiting for the hot chicken, hot meat section to reduce its prices.
During the yellow sticker hour.
Yellow Sticker Hour.
I'm up there for Yellow Sticker Hour every night.
So we've been Athletico Mints.
We have.
Send your photos, unusual photos of corned beef.
And I'll get the money at the bank.
And you can get the money.
Send it off to all of you.
Yeah? Off the. Have you got a post office account, like the kids one?
Yeah.
Kids server account.
Yeah.
Right. So here we go. Lovely man in Asda, waiting for the chicken to be reduced. If you grab the piri piri drumsticks before me, I'll break your fucking neck. I will break your fucking neck.
There we go.
Yellow Label Hour. Summed up in song. Right, I better get off, Andy.
Are you off,
dinner, I'm off for dinner date.
Is it on early tonight?
No, no, but, you know, the timing's about right.
See All ya. Right, I'll see you, Bob. Ciao, mate.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.